All right, everybody, welcome back to the last episode of 2021 Master of the Universe podcast, and we're doing New Year's Evil today. And, you know, Chris is pretty evil, so he should be able to talk about this movie at length. Right, Chris? What the hell are you doing over there, Chris?
Damn, I can't unmute properly. I'm letting you have your space, and I'm trying to mute, and then I double tap. That would be correct.
Man, you're like playing. He's playing the New Year's games already, dude. It's not even New Year's yet, man. But we got G Money, Mr. Gabe, the Man Beast, and CJK. Fucking Mr. Evil, Mr. Terrible. I'm gonna call. You know, there's a song by Doc, or does it? It's a George Lynch. Fucking Mr. Scary, but he's Mr. Terrible. So, anyway. You know, before we get into the movie, I mean, I want to ask a couple of questions about favorite shit of the year, favorite stuff that we got to review, because I think Gabe joined us in episode 39-ish, something like that, and this is episode 76, so, you know, I'd like to know everyone's favorite movie we've done so far, but we'll wait till the end, till we're done talking about some news and some New Year's Evil. But Gabe, you want to let everyone know what they got to look, what they have to look forward to in 2022, or what are we doing here, man?
Oh man, well, I don't know what we're doing here, but I'm looking forward to 2022.
Yeah, there you go.
It's gonna be a good year. You know, I have a couple of things, you know, for us to look forward to. I mean, I've always kind of spit things out from the previous podcast, so. I mean, if they missed anything in particular, or they just didn't catch it, I mean, they can listen to the previous shows, but. Honestly, like, I got a couple of last things for the last, you know, I guess this is the last episode for our year. So, first off, Jaws. I don't know if you guys are a fan of Jaws.
Bigger Jaws.
Get this, Nancy Jaws, man. So get this, they're coming out with a polystone damn statue of the Jaws from the scene when the damn shark jumped onto the damn orca, the damn boat, you know, trying to eat the damn people. So they're coming out with a damn statue of that. And, you know, somebody would probably say, like, what's the big deal with that? Well, the big deal is that this thing is a big deal, like big. It is 41 inches tall.
Whoa, shit.
And 31 inches wide. This thing is
huge. 3.5 feet by almost 3 feet, yeah.
Yeah, 50 pounds. So if you want this thing, this is going to come out near the end of 2022. This thing is going to be, the price on it is going to be $3,000 for a big-ass freaking statue.
I don't know.
Yeah, like, I kid you not. That thing is, like, ridiculously overpriced. Well, nah, I guess not. I mean, this is, like, one of those kind of resin kind of clay statues. So this thing is pretty heavy. It's a big, bulky thing. You know, if you're into collecting statues and stuff like that, this
oh,
is
yeah,
definitely...
I see it. Yeah, Jaws Attack. Wow, that is badass. Not good
yeah,
at that,
bro. They're only making so many of them, so they're, you know, honestly, this would be a good thing to invest in, and you can flip it, too. I can honestly see some good bucks around with that one. As far as for another one, they did set a date. I don't know if anyone's caught it, but on Jordan Peele's, you know, he's got those movies... Like, he's got Us, and then he's got the other one, Get Out. So now he's coming out with the third one. It's called
Nancy.
Nope. Yeah, well, shit, it's not that scary. Shit. Yeah, it's called Nope, and this thing's supposed to come out in July 22nd. That there's not really much mention of, like, what the movie's about. But it's still, you know, if you've seen the other two previous movies, I definitely enjoy them, so... I'm definitely looking forward to this, and I'll probably be the first day there just to go and watch the damn thing. So that's pretty – I thought that was pretty neat. The only other thing that I got was, you know, we talked about, like, you know, like you were mentioning, like, how – what our favorite movies are for the damn year. And I got my personal favorites, and one of them in particular happens to be Malignant. So I was like, oh, shit, you know, that was a damn good twist turnaround movie, kept me excited throughout the whole damn thing. Well, apparently on Screen Rant said they did an interview with some of the actors and even James Wan himself on about the damn Malignant movie. And they asked him, hey, is there going to be a franchise on this? Is there going to be a sequel? Mm-hmm. he actually said, you know, there we can make a franchise out of anything, and we have some ideas that we're ready to spit out, you know, because they think of it as more as a umbrella. Like every time he tells a story, he mentions that each movie is like a little umbrella, waiting for a bigger picture, for a bigger umbrella, so you can see the whole story. So in this case, so it seems like they're going to make a Malignant 2 on this one. No mentions of date, nothing confirmed, but just, you know, they were doing the interview and they kind of spit that out. So kind of got me excited about that, and I felt like I had to go and mention it to you guys.
Yeah, for sure. I enjoyed that film. It was like over the top, but like, I mean, I still enjoy over the top shit. I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, it was fine with me.
Yeah, as far as those, that I'm only going to hit you all up with just those three things. I mean, I've mentioned other previous stuff and other cooler things. I mean, everybody can re-listen to some of the other episodes. Yeah.
All right, Chris. So, last bit of business. Chris, what was your favorite, I guess, new movie you saw this year? And then what was your favorite one that we reviewed? And they might be the same.
Favorite new movie that I saw this year, like in a theater, for example, or that came out on, you know, streaming release?
Yeah, there was released in 2021 this year, or one that we've reviewed. So,
yeah. Gonna have to go with because I didn't really see a lot of new stuff, to be honest with you. That was the best of my memory. I'm probably just gonna have to go with Ghostbusters Afterlife. That was a blast. That was really fun. You know what? No, I take that back. On second thought, you know what? I'm gonna go with I know we saw the Halloween reboot. Yeah. Not the reboot, but the
Halloween Kills.
Kills, the alternate, you know, storyline dimension. But you know, they were both great. But I'll probably go Ghostbusters Afterlife because it's a real fans go home happy kind of moment for a guy that died and everything. Really fun, cool. So, but both great. And I did like. I know you're gonna laugh. It's not horror, but Many Saints in Newark. I enjoyed it. I think that should have been, you know, because I'm an organized crime films and TV shows kind of mark for that stuff. So, you know, that's why I like Ray Donovan. That's why I like Sopranos. That's why I like a lot of stuff, Power, all that stuff. But honestly, Narcos. But the thing is, it's just, I really think it would have been better as like a 10-episode series rather than a whole movie, because there's too much to try to fit in 2 hours. And they did the best they could, but it didn't tell as well as it could have if it had been, you know, even a 5-episode series would have been better. 5 1-hour episodes, but that was fun. You know, could have been better, but oh well. But yeah, that's what I'm gonna have to say on that. Favorite horror. Sorry.
Go ahead.
If you ask me, my favorite movie that we've reviewed, and honestly, it's just because it was the most fun podcast to do. I really had a freaking blast doing Phantasm 1.
Was that the first one we did together?
That was the first one we did together. Yep.
Oh shit. Chris just likes the pop he got for Save You, man. You gotta be shitting me. That mother's strong. for me, the favorite movie that I've done, or we've done this year so far, it's a tie. Chris, did we do brain damage this year, or was it last year? It's last year.
Oh,
right?
that was March of last year.
Yeah. Okay. So my favorite one, and then easily, is fucking Suspiria, dude. So that one got over like a motherfucker. So.
When are we going to do Suspiria 77?
Who knows? Probably next year. So, we'll do that. And I want to hear Chris just put it over. He's like, it's right up there with H2O and all that shit. but no, I love Suspiria that we've done. And like the newest movie, Halloween Kills, got over like a motherfucker. I've never had so much fun watching a horror movie in theaters, except for like probably the last time was when I saw like Insidious, like when it came out in 2009 or something like that, where I actually really was like, whoa, shit, this is fun. So anyway, New Year's Evil released in 1980. This was a Gabe pick, man. And when I put this on, I was like laughing because like right away I was like, okay, so this is why he put this thing on, dude. He was like, you know, you had told us that it's just like a lot of fun. And when's the first time you saw this and whatever the fuck, man?
Oh, man, I don't even remember. I saw this on a whim when I was, like, binge-watching a bunch of, like, movies I just hadn't seen. So I'm just kind of flipping through them all, and then you know, New Year's Evil popped up, and I was like, no shit, fucking damn old 1980s movie with the gimmick of New Year's. And I was like, yeah, sure. It wasn't even New Year's. I saw this like in damn March or April or something like that. I saw this like, it's, I don't know, it's been a couple of years. That, not when I was younger, I saw this somewhat recently. So I saw this and I was like, shit, this movie is fucking bad. It's fun. It has that whole 80s theme. I love 80s, you know, the hairstyles, the women, just the whole theme of 80s kind of style. It's great. And so the damn serial killer in it is fucking dumb as shit. It the kills are kind of like a little bit out there, but, you know, I thought this would be perfect for us to end the new year with the New Year's Evil. You know, why not? So I decided to give this mention. Yeah, the damn killer ends up talking with one of those, you know, like the people that have problems with their throat, they can't speak right or something like that.
That's called a laryngectomy, and so he's using a voice modulator which simulates the same vocal sound.
Exactly. There you go. Thank you, Chris. And with that, you know, he's making his threats over the damn in a telephone booth, you know, to like the main to the main chick, the main heroine in this damn movie, or the victim, I guess. And he's threatening this chick, and he's like, you know, he says to call himself evil, but every time it's New Year's, he said to be listening in. He said he'll give a call every time he has a new victim. So pretty much, you know, different time zones and different cities, different states and stuff like that, or different countries or whatever. And then here, every time it hits midnight, he goes around and ends up killing people. I thought that was pretty, I thought it was a pretty fun damn movie.
Yeah. You know, the main chick, Roz Kelly, I had did my, you know, my little research, and I saw she was on Happy Days. She was like Fonzie's girlfriend, you know, and I haven't seen that in forever. So yeah, I'm sure I had watched her.
That was Leather Tuscadero?
I guess so. Whatever she was.
No, that's hot. Fonzie's girlfriend on Happy Days, Leather Tuscadero. She also went by Pinky as another nickname.
There you go. So I was laughing because at first she looks kind of withered, you know, not really into her. But as the movie goes along, she looks like a little bit more attractive.
So, she does.
Yeah, I was like, I saw her like towards the end. I'm like, okay, all right, you know. She has like a few changes in of outfits. So I like you were saying, like one of I was like, I must have been like 20 minutes into the movie and I was like laughing. I'm like, man, like seeing this movie really makes me wish that I could just go back in time just to like hang out and be a part of that life. Cause it's so seeing the outfits and the way people, like you said, do their hair, the type of music, like people just standing there and jamming out. Like, you know, we live in a weird time now, but you know, just to see people just there rocking, you know, like I said, if I could go there for one day, I'd do it. I know Chris wouldn't do, because then he wouldn't have his streaming services, right, Chris?
I completely agree with Joe, though. Like, seriously, like, you know, the movie starts off with a bunch of, like, they look like young adults or young whatever, and they're driving, like, in this convertible car just down the street coming in, I think it was New York they were in, and they were just, like, jamming out, just having the music blasting. They were just drinking. They were just, like, having a blast. And, like, honestly, like, even their, their whole main point is that they're trying to head to this TV studio where they're filming like some kind of countdown, and it's like where they're broadcasting it from different states. Mm-hmm. But anyways, it's not even just them. It's just like a full-on rock party. It's like a mini rock concert. And these people, man, they're jamming out. They're having a grand old time. And I was just like, man, Joe's right. Like, I really wish I was, like, part of that crowd. Just kind of, it reminds me of, like, some of the concerts that I've been to where you're just kind of waiting there, and you're just, like, there with a beer, and you're kind of drunk. And then, you know, everyone's just kind of shooting the breeze until you're waiting for the damn the band to get on stage to kind of really jam out. So, you know, you're just kind of shooting the shit. It's pretty badass.
Yeah, this is a perfect, from the 70s to the 80s, like, ridiculousness kind of movie, to where that you could tell that, you know, like almost when did Halloween 2 come out? Like 81, right? So
Halloween 2 came out in 82.
So, like, this film,
you're right, it's 81. 3 was 82. Sorry.
Chris is over there scrambling and shit. Oh, my God. I got to hear somewhere. Yeah, like,
his Wi-Fi gave out.
Yeah, like, you know, like, when I watched it, I saw, like, a lot of things that, like, it reminded me of Halloween 2, like, you know, the fucking the hospital and the ambulances and shit like that. I don't know. Maybe I'm just in the Halloween 2 mood, but this is a really good little movie. Of course, Chris kind of, like, I'm waiting for some twist that he has to mention. I've never seen it. He's like, dude, I didn't see that coming. It's like, oh, God, now the whole...
I didn't know you hadn't seen it.
Well, that's why you should ask and shit. But what's it called? There goes Chris. Why are you yelling out, like, all of a sudden? Like, every time you say something, you start yelling now. It's 1981! I didn't know you didn't see it yet!
Okay.
Man, he's working. I'm just saying, well, you know, you could talk. You could just talk normal, Chris. But you made me lose my train of thought and shit because you just come out of nowhere.
Yeah, but you said it felt like Halloween 2, which it does, in the sense that it's early 80s and it takes place in a confined setting.
Yeah.
Okay.
you know, honestly, I want to go ahead and jump onto the point. Like, the serial killer, he's not hiding his face throughout this damn movie. He's actually pretty exposed. He has, like, different costumes.
The twist. And, there you go. Go ahead.
Yeah, he has different costumes. He even puts a mustache on. And just to get to the point, to go ahead and record his victim screaming. So get this. So you end up finding out that he is the husband of the girl that he's harassing. Mm-hmm. That he's the main girl, the main heroine in this damn movie, the victim. And with that, you end up finding out her son is there. And the son starts looking for attention, and clearly the mom's all about herself because, you know, she's like a pop rock star. You know, she can't wait to get on TV and do a countdown and do everything. Her shit is way more important than her husband and, you know, her son. So get this. So the husband's going around. Clearly, he already has, like, a bunch of issues, and he's killing people. And nobody knows that he's going around killing.
Is that you, Mr. Cripply Crumply guy over there?
Yes, I have a bag I'm throwing off the TV tray.
You've been doing it for, like, the whole podcast.
Because I was getting something out of it.
Chips.
Chris, you're pissing me the fuck off tonight, man.
Oh,
fuck,
man.
Yeah, that thing is a fucking gerbil.
But that's,
I'm like, who's got a fucking gerbil? Who's got a fucking gerbil here?
Diane, the name is Diane Sullivan, but everyone calls her Blaze. It's like her stage name from when she had been, like, you know, in the early days of punk, a punk rock star, you know?
You're the only punk I see tonight, Chris, you motherfucker. But I don't think Chris may have seen it because I always force him to watch these fucking movies, but the son is Mike from Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Did y'all recognize that motherfucker?
Oh, yeah, no.
But I've seen that, and it was like 10 years ago.
Yeah, and, like, the funniest thing is, like, his hair looks so fake, but it's not. Like, I've always known him as, you know, Killer Clowns from Outer Space guy, Mike, you know, and he actually, like, he overacts, but, like, I've seen it so much that, like, if he doesn't act like that, like I see him as not acting, you know, like as phony. So when I see him on here, his acting is terrible, and so is his fucking hair. But that's his real hair. Like, he had dyed his hair black for Killer Clowns, and it looks more natural than this fucking hair. Like, I guess he's like a natural, like blondish or whatever. And I'm like, this guy's somebody's son, you know, because he's like, he looks like he's like he's close to 30, and she looks like she's in her 40s. So it's like, man, what the fuck was going on here? But yeah. I laughed right away, dude.
Yeah. It looks like he could be like, you know, it's like he's the slightly younger lover trying to date a MILF or something. That's what it comes off like. It looks
that's,
like that.
That's what I thought it was her boyfriend when the movie first did. Anybody think it's
date a MILF?
Yeah, I was like, when the movie started, I'm like, is that other guy like her manager, the older guy that's with her, and then that's her boyfriend, and like that's what it seemed like. But he's like, oh, did you call your dad? And he's like, no, mom. Or I was like, oh, that's her son. I was like, okay. I started doing the fucking yeah. I was like, okay, but
The funny part about that was he shows off that he's like kind of a psychopath. So he gets like some pantyhose and he puts that shit over his fucking face.
Man, when he started doing that, I was like, okay.
He gets a needle and then starts poking his damn ear. Blood is all dripping down his, and he's all like, oh yeah. Yeah, he starts like moaning or something like that. He does some weird shit on the damn mirror.
I started laughing, yeah, when he starts putting on all the gimmicks and he puts like almost like a RoboCop laser eye over his fucking his face. It looks like a robot or whatever. I was like, man, yes. This guy's really getting the gimmick over and shit. Like, I thought he was going to – well, because Chris – you know, like I said, that was my point earlier, because Chris mentions – he goes, well, I didn't see that turn or that swerve. And I was like, oh, so now I can't just watch the movie. I'm going to be like looking out for, okay, you know, what's going to be this big reveal? And as soon as it happened, like you said, it's like – you know, that we find out that this guy we're following through the whole movie that's killing all these chicks at midnight in the different time zones and recording it is the husband. And I was like, man, this guy, you know, he did a really good job. I mean, I know he's overacting, but it's great, though. Like, we meet him at first as, like, he's working at a hospital. And, like, you kind of have the feeling that you should be sus with this guy. And then when he goes in, he's got the mustache and he's hitting on the girl, and then the girl brings her friend and that chick's fucking annoying as fuck. And then he goes from that to being dressed as a priest, and he runs into a bunch of bikers, and then he goes and finally decides to go to where Blaze is at, and, you know, starts fighting, like, beats up a cop, gets the cop outfit. And that's when he pulls out that mask, dude. And I love that mask, dude. I wish he would have kept that, like, the entire movie. Because that thing's fucking freaky, dude. So.
Yeah, that, like, no joke about that, man. That fucking mask was bad. I was like, oh, shit. So, I think that was, like, one of the disappointing things about this damn movie was he didn't wear the mask. But what's funny enough, you know, by the end of the damn story, you know, the son actually ends up getting the mask. And, you know, he feels all the pain and sorrow that, you know, about his dad, you know, because his dad his dad didn't follow through with what he wanted to do, which was kill the main actress, the main rock pop star, yeah. Blaze. So since he didn't do that, you know, kill his wife, you know, here comes the son, and he's like, well, shit, I got the mask now. Why not live on the legacy? And so it kind of leads off into what looks like a part two. But, oh, man, I don't know about you all, man, but, like, some of these kill scenes, like the victims in these damn movies, it's fucking funny as shit. Like, what was it? Like, the damn actress, like the damn nurse. Oh, man, that the nurse looked ugly as shit from afar. But, mm-hmm. you know, once he was already in it and he starts making out with her, like you said about the damn mom, you know, Blaze, you know, she actually starts kind of looking pretty, you know, after a while.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, maybe it's a camera viewing, you know, lighting or some shit like that. But I was like, ugh, why is he doing that? Oh, okay. she's not too bad. She's all right. Oh, he's going to kill her. All right, well. You got to do what you got to do, right?
Exactly. Everyone in this – well, the only one that I didn't think was attractive was the second chick when he went to the bar. She looked kind of weird looking, man. That fucking – you know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Sally, right, or somebody. Yeah,
Sally, that was Nancy right there.
Yeah.
Dude, that one was like that hair, like
the middle – the chick in the middle, like when they're in the car. And the one in the middle, who just keeps talking and talking and talking.
Yeah.
She looked like She looked a lot like was it Balky's girlfriend on Perfect Strangers?
I haven't watched Perfect Strangers since the 90s. Sam.
Oh, dude.
I know you're a big fan. I got to watch that again. But, yeah, she had a weird, like, just look to her. We're all judging the fuck out of people and shit.
Yeah, it pretty much.
She talks about.
Everybody knows that.
And she talks about her friend having diarrhea.
Yeah, she does. She just mentioned. She's, like, so weird and awkward. Like, you go to the club, and there's, like, all these pretty girls, you know, everyone's dancing and having a great time, and you're looking, like, it's already closing time, everyone's leaving, and you're just like, damn, I didn't even get a chick to bring home. Then you see that one ugly chick at the end of the bar, and you're like, well, shit. Do I go home by myself, or do I bring the ugly chick?
You bring home the ugly chick. Yeah.
You bring home the ugly chick, but guess what? She has a friend with her. Oh, great. And the other chick wasn't even that great either. She's just one of those stuck-up, you know-it-all bitches. And you're just like, oh, great. Now I got to deal with both of them when all I just want to do is bang the ugly one. Oh, great. So, pretty much, but in his case, he didn't want, it's not that he wanted to bang him, he wanted to kill her. So he needed to get her alone for the 12 o'clock hour. So he sends off the bitchy chick to like, hey, here's like some bucks, here's $100, go ahead and buy like the biggest champagne bottle you can. All right, fine. So she goes and they're right there on the side of the, on the parking lot, on the side of the liquor store, and he ends up killing her. So, cool, you know, like, okay, he's going to drive off and that's it. The damn bitchy chick comes out, the car is gone, but she's seen, like, a trail of clothing that leads to a damn dumpster, which I thought this part was stupid as hell. Mm-hmm. It leads to the damn dumpster, and she's following the clothing, and she's like, oh, shit. She's probably doing it with that guy or something. So, it leads to the dumpster, and she lifts up the dumpster, and the guy's, like, waiting there, and
with his
he
mustache.
Goes ahead and comes out and kills her. The hell was that?
Yeah,
he's been waiting at the dumpster for how long?
Yeah, there was a lot of things that this fool did that, I mean, of course, we have to suspend disbelief, but this one was a bit much. Like, I was like, man, so they're just, are these cops that stupid that they're only going to, like, block the front of the door? And he was so, you know, he was able to just do everything. Like, when he was, like, stabbing one of the bikers in the fucking drive-in and, like, you know, I'm like, nobody else saw him stabbing him and running this guy. You know, it's a fucking drive-in with everyone there, dude. So, yeah.
Even the mere fact when he's by the dumpster. I mean, the cops drive by, and here's a guy, parked car, in the area where a crime is taking place. His shirt is off. His trunk is open and getting closed. And they don't see it?
Yeah, well, they literally, like, get a call to go over there and, like, why wouldn't you stop that guy that's fucking taking off his shirt now? You're like, you're our number one suspect, jackass, you know? But, yeah, this movie had a lot of that. Like, the craziest thing is, like, how this dude can do, like, everything but, like, mess with the fucking elevator. I was like, what the hell's going on here? Like, well, he had it rigged to where he could see what's going on inside the elevator, and he was able to stop it and do all these things when he finally gets Blaze in there. I was like, man, what the fuck? He's able to do this and do that, and he knows how to stop the elevator, and he's changed her up. And I was like, man, this movie's over the top. I love it.
Yes. He must have gone to some really good elevator technician school or something.
Yeah.
You know, it was funny, like, on that part. Remember on the previous podcast, I ended up mentioning, I said, usually I don't go ahead and just I don't look at, like, the killings just to be like, oh, this person's stabbing this person. It's those facial expressions or how they're acting is what makes the damn movie pretty good or more realistic. It just how they do shit. It makes my mind kind of question things. So one in particular scene was that elevator scene. Remember when Blaze was in there with the cop? The whole screen and everything was shaking, and she's, like, screaming half to death because they're plummeting. They're, like, kind of falling to their death. Mm-hmm. And the cop, if you notice, if you've been watching his face the whole time, he just makes a mean face. He doesn't even scream. He doesn't do anything. He's just staring at the buttons. And he's like, he's just making this mean face.
Yeah.
The girl is screaming. She's showing how dramatic everything is. And the guy is just like,
Like he's holding in a shit.
Yeah, he was. It's exactly what he was doing, holding in that shit.
He's like, man, I got to go so fucking bad, but I can't sell it. Yeah,
dude, that... wait,
no one is allowed.
Huh?
No one is allowed in the hotel. You know, like the fucking cop, like not letting people in, and then the guy that looks like he looks like freaking what is it? He looks like freaking Godfather 2 Al Pacino when he gets on the mic. If we're that punk rock crowd, and they're all booing him and talking shit.
Oh, like the detective, I guess he is, or the something. Detective. Yeah, the guy that looks like he's some kind of Italian guy, some Italian tough guy. And by the end of the movie, he's just wearing the white shirt. The white, he's got, he finally takes off his jacket. He's the beat cop that's, you know, fucking had a rough night and fucking coming after that dude. They chase him to the roof and all that bullshit. That was a fucked up ending, man, that he starts, it ends kind of abruptly, but, you know, hey, you know, as far as like him, because I wanted him to keep going or do a shootout. So like all of a sudden when he jumps off, I was like, no, you know, do keep doing more, dude. But I guess we get that with the.
It was a short movie. It was only 1 hour 24.
It was. Thanks for the insight.
I mean, like they don't leave a lot of room for more of that because like they ended it quick. Like if it was 5 minutes longer, you could have had a more in depth kind of thing, like what you're asking for.
Yeah?
Well, I mean, in this case, I mean, there wasn't really... They figured it out. I mean, the damn guy, he was just posing as, like, a serial killer so he can make it as a distraction for the cops.
Yeah.
So that way he can kill his wife with ease because the whole point was, you know, she's a popular rock star, so he needs to get all the attention away from her. And it's already New Year's Eve, so that was... probably going to be a perfect timing. He already collaborated with his son, you know, about that whole situation because they were talking about like the son already shows like kind of signs of like how he's already like a kind of a sociopath, like he's a psycho, and you know, by putting that pantyhose over his head and putting the needle through his ear and all that shit. So in this case, you know, he already collaborated with his dad that they feel like the mom is the issue. And he explains that when they're in the elevator saying like, hey, you know, you keep us on a short leash or you keep me on a leash, can't do anything without your permission. Your son told you he got a episode. He's going to appear on this episode coming next week.
Yeah, he got a part, right? Yeah, then she didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, and she
and he had mentioned that at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, exactly. So he was already showing signs of aggression that he was already pissed off, and the son was, he was, and so they figured, like, you know what? We'll have a happier life without the mom. Let's go ahead and kill her ass. But the dad already knew that, so he says, you know, the best way we can do it is let me cause a distraction, make threats, and make it seem like there's a serial killer out and about, and I'm just the husband. I'll just come walk on in and go and murder her, and I'll just blame it on this random serial killer.
Right, so no one's going to suspect him because he's the husband.
Right, but he pretty much gave himself away during this movie when they had the hotel on lockdown and he ended up sneaking in.
Yeah.
And they caught him and they said, hey, you know, how'd you get in? Oh, her manager let me in. It's cool. But when they questioned the manager, he's all like, I didn't let nobody
in. I've always known he's been a psycho.
He just jumps right in there. He's all like, yeah, I always knew he was a psycho. Yeah. So they go ahead and they start looking for him and they trap him on the roof. So then the guy's like left with two options, you know, go down fighting, go to prison, or and a third option, you know, just kill himself. Mm-hmm. You know, spoiler alert, you know, he kills himself. So shit. So he ends up throwing himself off. The son is all upset and now he's all like, well, shit, dad, you know, why'd you do that? You have a cool mask. I'm going to take that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then pretty much, yeah, he runs with the mask, and here comes the mom. The mom happened to survive that whole ordeal, but she's, like, all unconscious, so leave it to the son. He's going to go and try to finish the job. And, well, it seems since the 1980s up to now, we've never seen a part two to this, so we can kind of assume what happens from there.
We'll be right back. I was laughing, dude. Like I said, like there's a lot of things that I chuckled at, but one of them was at that ending where he's got the mask on and he's in the, you know, the driver's seat, and like people are like literally like 5 feet away from it. And I'm like, no one sees the psychopath guy wearing a mask getting ready to drive this ambulance off. Like, you know what I mean? I was like, there's like, you could see the people out there from his perspective. And I was just like, come on. Like,
yeah, it would have been like a whole row of people just looking. No one questions it, I guess.
Yeah, they're like, oh, that's perfectly normal. Instead of being like, oh, there's a man, you know, something like that. And then he peels off. Then that would have been good. But, you know, but I just started laughing when I saw that. I was like, oh, my God, this movie. It's great. And like, yeah, it would have set up a great sequel just as the son is a serial killer. Because he was like, he's awkward, but I guess for a killer, like, it's perfect. You know, you want them to be awkward and, like, the weird acting. So it kind of, like, goes together. And I enjoyed the fuck out of the movie. So,
You know, that guy kind of, you know, the main killer, the husband, you know, I don't know if y'all kind of looked at him funny, but I looked at him and I was just like, man, this guy reminds me of someone.
Yeah.
And,
I'll tell you who.
I was thinking the
entire time.
Yeah. The Kardashians, what is it?
Yes,
the dad?
Bruce Jenner. He looks exactly like Bruce Jenner.
I couldn't think of his damn name, but yeah, it was like the one that, you know, changed his gender and all that. What's his damn name? Yeah, Bruce Jenner. Dude, he's like a cross between Bruce Jenner and like a young William Dafoe. Fucking weirdos, you know?
Yeah, dude,
but
he
that's
does.
The thing, though. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just talking, man. Go ahead.
That's the thing, like that, the Bruce Jenner, you know, post-Olympics, you know, stardom look, that was a popular, all the way into, like, the early 80s, that was a big look, and so it's not surprising that some guy, even in a lower budget film like this is, it's not surprising that, you know, there's going to be this tall, thin, good-looking guy who's sporting that look, but yeah, you read my mind, that is exactly what I was thinking the entire freaking movie. This guy looks like, you know, early 80s Bruce Jenner.
It was that shit was spot on. I kept looking at him through the damn movie, and I was like, man, there's something weird about him. I don't know why he looks so familiar. But yeah, that Bruce Jenner, that's who he reminds me of. Fucking weirdo.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I'm like, I've seen him before, but I looked at his Wikipedia page. I was like, no, I haven't seen him in anything, I guess. But, you know, he has a very distinct look, and he is the spitting image of Bruce Jenner, dude. You know, penis and all. So
extra small.
Yeah. So Chris, dude, since we don't want to take all your thoughts and everything. You know, what did you think about, you know, New Year's Evil, dude, and give it a rating?
Okay. So I'll give you my overall rating and I'll give you why. My overall rating, I'm going to give it a 7.5. It was good. And I like the plot twist at the very end where it's like, you know, you start off with, you know, you don't know who the dad is. You don't know who her husband is. You just figure out because she says, where's dad and mom? I got you this. You know. Then you figure out that she's the mom and he's the son. You don't know the dad is this serial killer all throughout North Hollywood because that's where it's taking place. You don't figure that out until he actually gets to the damn hotel room closet. And then she vouches, oh, Richard, how you doing, you know? And that twist right there is what made it for me, because if that twist had not happened, if it had just gone on where this guy, who we don't really know who he is, and he isn't her husband, and he just gets there and tries to kill her and gets shot down, then it's just another, you know, early 80s slasher film that didn't make it, you know, to a franchise. But that, even though it's only one movie, made it something, made it special. That was like, I didn't see that coming. I mean, maybe y'all did, I did not. And that made like, whoa! So now how is he going to kill? And is he really going to kill his own wife? And then I'm sitting there thinking, what's his motive for killing his own wife? And it's because he thinks she's promiscuous and doesn't listen and doesn't give their son attention and all that stuff. But, you know, it's just how I like that they establish how smart he is, how powerful he is. Like, just the main thing of, like, you know, anyone can be a scumbag, fool people like him, and then kill someone. And a lot of guys have done that. But this guy, like, even knows how to work elevators at the damn building? What the hell? Like, that's frightening. And then has his wife, like, hanging from the bottom of the elevator and almost freaking gets crushed. I mean, that's incredible. So, yeah, 7.5, I mean, could have been better. It's an early age slasher film. I like the plot twist. And gotta say, this is like a reverse Freudian thing, if you will. Like, the son is just, like,
it's weird that he like craves attention and love, and almost in a lustful way for his own mom. I mean, she probably had him young, but then like, at the same time with Freud, Freud says you, Freud and Oedipus stories and all that stuff. If you're in love with your mom like that, then you hate your dad. But this kid loves his dad. So it's kind of a thing where the son and the dad both have this jealous, attention-loving, attention-seeking desire from this woman. It's really weird dynamic.
Yeah, I thought the son was going to end up, like, doing some weird shit with the mom or something. So that's what I thought. I was like,
weird shit with the mom?
Yeah, well, the way, like when I was like,
asking for spankings or something?
Yeah, when I first saw it and or saw the beginning of the film, I'm like, oh, this is her boyfriend. And then I was like, oh, that's her son? I was like, whoa, shit. It's going to be one of those movies, huh? And and what's it called? And it kept on changing on you, and it kept you, you know, wanting – you kept on – to steal a very famous CJ line, I wanted to see where it was going, dude, because it's like – so what the fuck's going on? Like, why is this guy doing the calls, and why is he, you know, why is he after this chick? And then the big reveal, it's the husband. And I'm glad you explained it there like that, as far as he kind of wanted to make it seem like it was just some serial killer on the loose. Because I mean, if you want the bitch dead, he could have just killed her like with no one in the dressing room and you know, done that. But then they would have been like, well, this guy, look at him, look at his fucking hair, dude, that's Bruce Jenner. So they would have automatically, you know, suspected him. But, a whole lot of fun.
It was a whole lot of fun. I got to tell you, like, normally, like, a lot of times I can stop watching, pause, do some whatever, come back. But this one, I watch from beginning on without stop because, like, you're, like, forgive me for saying, but you're waiting to see where it's going because it just grabs you like that. Like, it's not a bunch of conflated or complicated BS. It's just straightforward. And the fear sympathy element is with the Diane Blaze, the wife, the mom. She's scared for her life because she's a high-profile figure in the public view. Anyone could get in there, slip in with a gun and shoot her, or slip in close and stab her. And you're fearing for her the whole time.
Chris winks at Gabe.
Winks at everyone in the room.
And you're feeling bad for her, and you're just hoping the cops can protect her because she doesn't seem like a scumbag person. But lo and behold, the enemy is within.
Yeah, I'm like, I was like, why do they hate her so much? I guess because she's busy. I guess that's it. But I mean, they're just crazy asses. But yeah, this is when I saw this, I laughed because I'm like, man, this is like just a perfect, you know, random movie. It has a gimmick, has, you know, a good villain in there, and then has like a good secondary villain and a badass story. So I won't rate it too high. I'll give it like a 6.8 out of 10. I think it's you have to watch it, dude. Like if you're a horror movie guy like us and you're forced to watch horror movies like Chris, you still got to watch it anyway. So 6.8, dude, it's a lot of fun. G-Money.
Ooh, man, I'm gonna go ahead and give this a good solid 7. I'm giving it a 7 because it's the same thing, like it has the gimmicks for it. It's for the New Year's kind of deal. You can lump this in with your Christmas watch list, you know, getting ready for the end of the year horror shit. You know, the kills are pretty good. It has some kind of, and like me, you know, if you watched a lot of these older horror movies, you know, you would go ahead and go for like the topless titties, you know, and that's like one of the highlights for some of these movies.
Speaking of titties, that chick in the drive-in had the best tits, but go on.
Oh, she did. Like, he was just there the whole time, just rubbing her chest, like, while he was watching the damn spookathon.
I was like, this chick's got the best tits in the whole movie. So, yeah, she stood up. I even wrote down notes. I just didn't pull my notes back out, but I was writing shit. I was like, man, perfect tits.
All
right.
I started taking notes, but then I started drawing her titties, though. I was just trying to get all the detail in. I was like, this is looking good. This is a good movie. I like this. It moved up to a 6 to an 8. Now it's down to a 7. Just because the damn movie's over now.
Yeah,
solid 7, man. It's a good movie. There's some cool kills. There's some like really ridiculous, stupid shit in here that make you question like the sensibility of these people. But you know, it's a fun movie. Go ahead and watch it. Just throw it in for shits and giggles. You know, I'm pretty sure that there is better shit to watch, but why not throw in something fun? Something you can really go ahead and just kind of have a good laugh at. So this is cool. it had its good moments, and it does have that little psychological, you know, mentality where these people are, you know, these people are just not all there, and you just kind of question, you yeah. know, what the hell are they doing with their damn lives?
Yeah. No, well, it's perfect because it's, you know, we're getting ready for the new year, and you're like, well, what's a movie that, you know, fits the time frame? And it's like, well, it's end of year, New Year's Evil, you know, and then, I mean, it's got, I mean, it's not great music or anything like that, but it's got music in it nonetheless, and they're like, you know, a little upbeat shit, you know.
First song was kick ass.
Yeah, it was, actually. I love that first song. First song was cool.
I didn't like the rest of them, dude, when they just started throwing a bunch of random ones. But yeah, the first one, I thought, I was like, okay. I thought when I put it on, I was going to be watching something like Return of the Living Dead, you know, with all the fucking kids in the car and jamming out and the good music and everything. And then it slowly started like, okay, the music's not so good. And there's no more kids, you know. It's like Bruce Jenner and shit, so.
And the dude with the jack, the switchblade comb.
Mm-hmm. And goes up to the cop.
We had one of those. Nick had one of those when we were kids, and I would always play that. I thought it was so cool. Jah! You know, when it kept flips out like that.
Those damn switchblades, those things are cool. I've always wanted one. I always found the ones with the comb, though.
Yeah.
I never found the ones with the actual blade. You can find that shit, like, in the damn flea market and shit. Those things are cool.
Yeah, I had one with the comb. But yeah, no real knife one, dude, you know. But
that's the one I wanted, man. I wanted the real knife. Not that I would do shit with it. It's just cool as hell just to have.
The funniest thing about this killer's hair is that Chris actually grows his hair out that long, and it looks exactly the same way, too. So. He does, dude. He would always grow it out that long, and I'd always, like, I was like, man, I wish I had long hair because, like, my hair will just curl. It won't just, like, flap down like that, so.
Oh, yours curls when it gets longer?
Yeah, that's why I don't grow my hair. I would have long hair, but it just looks like a puff, like some fucking palm tree.
I was wondering why you never – okay, yeah. See, that, like mine's – I'm the only one in my family that my hair is straight when it grows out. Everyone else, even my dad, who doesn't have hair,
it don't grow down. It just starts growing sideways until it gets – it's like fucked up, dude. Fucked up. That's fucked up. Anyway, y'all guys got anything to say about New Year's Evil or we'll close out 2021? So we get to 2020 fucking two.
Oh, man. I was kind of curious, though. What's y'all's New Year's resolutions? Do y'all do that? Do y'all make a goal for the next year? Some kind of big plans or something in particular?
I always do.
What you do? What you got?
I always plan on coming after Chris more next year than I did this previous year to make more podcasts about him, come after him for, you know, stumbling, bumbling, all the shit that he does, dude. So every year I'm like, all right, Chris, what did you do this year? All right, what are you going to do next year? Okay. And he always gets himself over, dude. So like this year was great. Chris got married this year, dude. This was an amazing year. Yeah. So, you know. He got a house. He's like, I got a house, Joe. What about you? You know, so. It was a good year, dude. I mean, it's probably my best year so far. So I'm always enjoying the fuck out of my year. But what I'm going to do next year, like I said, is make sure that the heat on the Master of the Universe channel and the Chris Wars is, you know, it stays on 10, dude. That's my resolution, dude. I don't know. What about you, dude?
Oh, man. I my goal for next year is just pop out some more drawings as much as I can and travel a little bit more, you know. It kind of sucks being stuck at home sometimes, and I want to get out there. I want to do more stuff, but that's my goal, man. I want to pop more drawings out and get some more attention out there. I mean, other than that, I mean, I'm pretty happy as a lamb, man. You know, just chilling. You know, I got my great buds here. Thank you all for, you know, inviting me on this damn show, you know, being so welcoming and everything. You guys are the best, you know, watching all movies, this fucking fun ass trip, you know. I can't, you know, it's hard to communicate with other people at work, you know. they all talk about
have y'all
the
seen
1920s and shit.
Have y'all seen New Year's Evil? Like when you're at work and shit, you're all trying to talk to them and shit.
Yeah, and then they bring up fucking old ass movies. No, you should really watch Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. That racist movie? But the old racist one? That sounds terrible. Why would I want to watch that?
That sounds terrible.
That sounds terrible. Is there murder? No, it's just good racism on modern times. Oh, that sounds boring. No, that's cool. We'll talk later, man. Yeah. I'll talk to you on the podcast. You mean the radio? No, man. Podcast. No.
I'm glad you decided to do it. And like, yeah, when we had bullshitted, you know, way back when, I was like, man, you know, the fucking Gabe is super interesting. He's into all this the same shit as me. And you could talk, you know, we're just talking about stuff in depth. And it was like, well, that's perfect podcasting shit. So I'm glad we decided to work together. And yeah, I mean, like forgot about like with music. It's like, I want to try and get like a whole 10 song kind of album deal out, and fucking Chris is going to play bass on it. Right, Chris? he's freaking out of there.
So, God.
So my thing, are we still on your resolutions or?
What the fuck's going on over there, man? You're like a 12-hour delay or what?
No, dude, that's the thing. Like, I don't know what it is, man. Like, I've had to switch to my own fucking cell phone data because the Wi-Fi.
He's on the roof right now. Can y'all hear me? I can't.
He's got foil on his head and everything.
And that's just thing too. Like, Gabe, tomorrow I'm doing like you. I'm going out of town, man. Me and the wife are going to Austin because there's the Linkin Park tribute band that we've always like since we started dating. We would go watch them, so we're gonna go see them, stay over at a hotel, and then come back home in time. Maybe have lunch with my mom, and then, you know, after that, New Year's Eve day, so who knows. But my New Year's resolution, I got to lose 10 pounds every month, man. Like, so this, I got till Friday morning to be 259. Even if it's 259.8, I'll take it. And then I got to be 249.8 next month, so on and so on and so on. You know, just go from there.
Till he weighs 0 pounds.
I weigh 0 pounds, exactly.
Yeah,
I'll be the real-life version of thinner.
Yeah, no, that's another. Oh yeah, we did that one, right? Yeah, fucking.
Oh man, that movie is fucking scary.
Fucking. What does he say? Thin. That's what he says. Thinner, white man from town. I'm gonna start calling Chris that, white man from town.
White man from town.
Fuck, man. Well, yeah, it's been a fun year doing all this shit. I can't wait to see what next year brings, and I hope you guys enjoyed it, and we'll see you guys on the next one.
And you gotta be shitting me. That mother's strong.
Peace.
Peace.
Happy New Year to everyone. Keep safe and God bless everyone.